I'll be reading from Revelation 9, 1 through 12. If you'd like, and you're able to, please stand. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven, which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went out of the pit. But the smoke of the great furnace and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and the power was given to them, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months, and their torment was like the torment of scorpions when it stung a man. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, the death that flees from them. The appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads appeared the crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like the hair of women, and their teeth were the teeth of lions. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of the chariots of many horses rushing to battle. They had tails like scorpions and stings, and in their tails their power to hurt men for 5 months. They have as a king over them the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew, Abaddon, and in Greek, he has the name Apollyon. The first woe is past. Behold, two woes are still coming after these things. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob, for reading that very important portion of Scripture this morning. In his best-selling book, Neil Anderson and the Bondage Breaker tells the story to kind of get the book going, in essence. He tells the story of when he was speaking to a group of people. It was an auditorium, and he was speaking about the influence that Satan can have in people's lives, including believers' lives. And at the end of the lecture, at the end of the discussion, there was a gal who was about halfway back, 22-year-old girl, and she was weeping and crying uncontrollably. And Neil Anderson had a group of people who were coming up and asking him questions. And some of the people on his staff went back to the young lady and tried to help her, but she wouldn't stop crying. Finally, they said, we'll bring you up to Miss Dr. Anderson. And so they brought her up. And when she got up to the front, she was finally able to talk to Dr. Anderson. And before she started to talk to him, through her sobs, she said, "He understands. He understands." And Dr. Anderson set up an appointment with her. And they had a good discussion. And before they started to discuss, he noticed that she had scratches and open wounds on her face. And she sheepishly admitted that she uncontrollably scratches herself with her fingernails. It's something that she can't stop doing. In any event, as they began to discuss things, she shared with Dr. Anderson that her grandmother was a black witch. She had accepted and received spirit guides into her life when she was a young girl. And that when she had told her parents about the spirit guides inside of her, her inner companions, if you will, that her father beat her harshly. Because of that, she didn't feel free to talk about that, her inner companions, her spirit guides, unquestionably demonic influence in her life, with anybody, because of the fear that her dad would find out and she would get beaten again. In any event, through the ministry of Dr. Anderson, she had the privilege of being set free from the influence of Satan from her life. And Satan has the capacity to influence believers. He can't indwell believers, I don't believe, from the scriptures. But he can influence believers even through the things that he says, the things that people believe. We hear with our subconscious. We don't hear with our conscience. And when people think wrong, they can go way off. But this raises the question, if demons have free reign to do whatever they want on planet Earth, pretty much whatever they want, what would they do? What kind of influence would they have in the lives of people without the restraining hand, in most ways, from God? Well, in Revelation chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, we see what happens when demons pretty much can run free on planet Earth. I invite you to open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 9. It's going to be heavy this Sunday. It'll be heavy next Sunday. And then it's going to be pretty easy compared to this Sunday and next Sunday until Revelation 16. So I just want to let you know. But strap on, put your seatbelts on for the next two Sundays. Revelation chapter 9, the fifth trumpet, hell on earth. Revelation chapter 9. Last week we saw the first four trumpets, and we looked at the first four trumpet judgments. They were worse than the seal judgments, but they only indirectly affected man. The four trumpet judgments we saw last week are judgments that God will have upon our environment. Now, we are affected by our environment indirectly, but the fifth and the sixth trumpet judgments will affect people very directly and more tragically. Let's look at what happens when demons roam the earth. Number one, the first thing that happens, there will be the ascent of the demonic host. The ascent. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth, and to him the star was given the key to the bottomless pit. Undoubtedly, the star here is used symbolically. It is not a literal star. Stars cannot be given a key, nor can they hold a key. And so the star here refers to an angel. And angels are referred symbolically elsewhere in the scripture as stars. In fact, in Job 38, verse 7, when referring to the creation, it says that the morning stars sang together, the angelic host sang together when God created the heavens and the earth. And that is what we are talking about here. And so there is a star, a good angel, has fallen from heaven, and he's given a mission by God. He's comes down to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. By the way, that is the phrase my mother used frequently to describe my brothers and I as we grew up. We were bottomless pits during our teenage and early 20s. And I know exactly why she said that. We were the bottomless pits. But this literally is the shaft of the abyss. The shaft of the abyss, a long tunnel, if you will, that goes down from the earth to you know where. The shaft of the abyss. And it's where some demons presently reside in prison. There are demons who are in prison already. For instance, in Luke chapter 8, just to confirm that thought, Luke chapter 8, verse 29. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him, and they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. And if we look at Jude chapter 6, we see that they, from the days of Noah, have been thrown into the abyss. And they are chained, they are imprisoned, and these demons will be let out of prison. They will go up the shaft to planet Earth. And that will be the ascent, which they will go. So we go back to Revelation chapter 9, verse 2. demon opens the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit. And that lets us know that the bottomless pit is hot. There's smoke that will come out of the bottomless pit. And it was like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun in the air was darkened because of the smoke of the pit. The smoke will be so dense when it comes up out of the shaft of the bottomless pit that you won't be able to see the sun. You won't be able to see the air, the atmosphere around us. So dense will be the smoke that comes out of the pit. So not only will the demons come out of the bottomless pit, so will the smoke. The ascent. Verse 3, then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now the question that we need to ask ourselves up front here, are these literal locusts, or are they symbolic of demons? And I think that the evidence points very strongly, if not 100%, to these locusts are demons in the form of locusts. First of all, demons are imprisoned presently in the bottomless pit, and there aren't any locusts down there. So that's the first thing that we want to embrace. Locusts don't breed in the bottomless pit. If we drop down to verse 11, and they, referring to the locusts, had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon. Locusts don't have a king over them from the bottomless pit. But the prisoners, the demonic prisoners, do have one. And finally, we're going to see that these locusts will be attacking human beings. Locusts attack green vegetation, literal locusts. But they don't attack human beings. And so these locusts are symbolic of demons. You've heard of the phrase, a swarm of locusts. And I think that's one of the reasons that God depicts them symbolically as locusts. There will be innumerable demons who will swarm upon planet Earth as they arise from the bottomless pit. And that's one of the reasons why God depicts them. We'll see another reason as locusts. So the ascent of the demonic hosts, we basically are going to have for the fifth trumpet judgment, hell on earth. Hell on earth. Let's go to the second thing that will happen during the fifth trumpet, the authority of the demonic hosts, the authority given to them. Verse 4, they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth. So here we see right off the bat that the demons are given limitations on their authority, on what they can and what they can't do. And that is consistent. God always, he's the source of all authority. If anybody has any authority in life, whether they are a politician or a spiritual authority in a church or authority in a home as the head of the house, wherever the authority is given by God, and he places limits upon the people he gives authority. And that includes these demons. They cannot harm the grass. They cannot harm the grass of the earth or any green thing, any trees or any tree, but only those who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So they will not be able to harm the 144,000 Jews that will have the seal of God across their foreheads, the Jewish evangelists, nor, I believe, though the text doesn't tell us back in Revelation 7, anyone who comes to Christ through the ministry of the 144,000, they likely will also have the seal of God, the name of God written across their forehead, and these demonic hosts will not be able to hurt those people. Now, those people who have received the mark of the Beast 666, they will be fair game for the demonic hosts if we put it all together from what we read in the book of the Revelation. So these demonic hosts, these demons, cannot harm the grass. They cannot hurt God's servants, those who have the seal of the Lord across their forehead. Verse 5, and they were not given authority to kill them. I will not be able to kill the people who have the mark of the beast but do not have the mark of the Lord. They will not be able to kill people. That is another limitation on the authority or the power that they will have. And God is the one who limits them, who will limit them. They were not given authority to kill the people who do not have the mark of the Lord, but to torment them for 5 months. So they will have the authority to torment people who do not belong to the Lord. Their authority will be limited, but their authority will also be significant. And they will be able to torment people for 5 months. This is part of the reason why God symbolizes them as locusts. Locusts do their harm through the months of May, June, July, August, and September. 5 months. Isn't that interesting? And they will have the authority, the demonic hosts, symbolized by locusts, to torment people for 5 months. Verse 5, their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. And so scorpions, interestingly enough, there are 500 kinds of scorpions, and only about 24 can kill people. The rest of them cause a whole bunch of pain, but they don't kill. And so these demons will be depicted as scorpions because they will be able to cause a lot of pain for people, but they won't have the authority to kill them. And so that's another reason why God has depicted them as locusts and as scorpions. Well, let's take a look at some things that we see where God limits the authority of Satan. He limits the authority of anybody that he gives authority to. So let's go back up on our outline. I kind of skipped the Job passages, but let's go back up to Job 1. And we're familiar with the dialogue between God and Satan, right? As he suggests, why don't you go and try Job? Verse 8, and the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He actually makes the suggestion that there's none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. I don't have anybody better than Job. Why don't you test him? Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, a hedge of protection around his household and around all that he has on every side? You've blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. No wonder he's faithful to you and fears you. You're so good to him. You protect him completely, and you bless him thoroughly. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. I give you the authority to destroy whatever you want. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And so God gives Satan considerable authority, but he limits it. He says, don't touch his person. You can touch everything that belongs to him. You can touch everyone that you want to. Satan, if you're smart, you won't touch his wife because she's not that big of a blessing, but you can touch everything else you want. Right? It's a good thing we have no ladies like that, and we thank the Lord for that, right? In Job chapter 2 then, okay, Satan does his thing, and of course Job does not curse God. He does not deny God. He praises God. So we have another round, chapter 2, verse 6. Verse 4, Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. Stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. He says, now, you didn't allow me to touch his person, but if you allow me to take away his health, he will curse you. I promise you, God. The Lord said to Satan, behold, he's in your hand. There's only one thing that you can't do. You need to spare his life. You can't kill him. You can take away his health, but don't kill him. Again, I'm going to give you permission to go, but I'm going to limit the authority, the power that you have over him. You're not going to be able to take his life. And so God constantly does that. He does that with anybody in authority, including Satan and his demons and his hosts. And so that's what God is going to do during the fifth trumpet as well. As we said, although the angels of demonic hosts will have limited authority and power, it will still be significant. It still will be significant. Verse 6, back in Revelation 9. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die and death will flee from them. Can you imagine? People will be in so much excruciating pain. Remember the pain of a scorpion bite. They will seek death. And the idea in the Greek is they will continually pursue death. They will try to die and they will not find it. They won't even be able to take their own lives. They will desire to die and death will run away from them. And so as badly as people will want to get out of the pain, they will seek death because of the pain, yet they won't be able to accomplish what they want. We can see that from the scriptures that the demons, when they mess with people, they can really cause and wreak havoc. For instance, let's just look at a couple of texts. In Mark chapter 5, it's a familiar text, familiar story. Demon-possessed man is healed by Jesus. Description of him is found in verse 5 of Mark 5. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out, cutting himself with stones. Can you imagine? He's insane. He's lost his mind. He's crying out like a wild wolf. And he's cutting himself. He's creating this pain with stones. When Jesus casts out the demons, do you remember what happens? I love this, verse 15. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. I mean, if you could summarize what happened to him after the demons were gone, he was clothed again, and then he was in his right mind. When demons mess with people, as we saw in the introduction with the man, a young lady who Neil Anderson was able to set free through Jesus, insanity. When people aren't thinking right, sometimes even believers, if they've dropped the breastplate of righteousness or other pieces of the armor of God, Satan has access to our heart and he can inject thoughts that can drive us crazy. To believers, yes, to believers. Cannot demon possess a believer, but can harass a believer when we drop the armor of God. I'm telling you from personal experience, he can do that. But if we put up the armor and we resist the devil, he flees from us. We draw near to God, he draws near to us. We cleanse our hands, that is, we confess our sins, then he's got to flee. But when demons are in people's thinking, people are driven crazy. And that's what's happened here. Mark chapter 9, another illustration of what happens when demons are just infecting a person. Mark chapter 9, verse 20. Then they brought him to him, the boy. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and the boy fell on the ground. He wallowed, foaming at the mouth. Can you imagine? Gyrating on the ground, foaming at the mouth. So he asked the father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. Can you imagine your son or daughter being thrown into the fire, thrown into water to try to destroy him? But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you believe, all things are possible to him who indeed does believe. And of course, he cast him out. We can see that there's a rational, destructive behavior that takes place when demons are affecting, harassing, influencing people. irrational, destructive behavior. And sometimes we wonder why people are doing some things that just don't make any sense, and it's so harmful and hurtful, and sometimes it's just plain old demonic influence. Now, demons are not going to be possessing these dear folks during the tribulation period, but they will be inflicting so much pain and so much anguish that people will be acting as though they are insane, and they will be acting in a way where they will try to get out of the pain even through death. Even through death. That's not rational. Now, I tried to sit and think, what are some ways that I could kind of connect with this pain? And I'm not sure any of us have experienced anything quite like this. You know, I'm sure those of us who've been around long enough, we've all had painful experiences where our bodies are just about ready to jump out of our skin. We're about to jump out of our skin, of our bodies, I mean. And I know for me, I was 22 years old, and I'd been out of school about a year, and I was working. I can remember the client, Edgewater Steel was the client, and I was part of the audit staff. I was auditing their books, and I was just minding my business at the table working, and all of a sudden, with a sharp pain in my side, it kind of floated to my back, and it just kept getting worse and worse. And finally, I asked my supervisor, can I go home? He said, well, sure. I called my mom. I said, Mom, I'm really hurting. I got to get home. I'll be home in 20 minutes. And so I get in the car. And as the pain increased, I started driving faster and faster, right? And my brother, Mark, I just saw my brother yesterday at a reunion, and he remembered it. He happened to be standing in my parents' driveway when I pulled in. He said, yeah, your dad was going 90 miles an hour on the driveway, and he screeched the tires and stopped right before the garage door. And I could hardly see over the dashboard because I kept sinking lower and lower the longer I drove. And so I'm driving like this. I'm going 55 probably in my parents' driveway. Hit the brakes. Stop. My brother, he doesn't know what's going on. I go upstairs, try to get on the couch, and I'll never forget. I got on my left side. Oh, it didn't. Got on my right side. That didn't help. I got on my stomach. That didn't help. I got on my back. That didn't help. I remember trying to stand on my head. That didn't help. Finally, Mom says, I'm going to take you to the hospital. She drives me to the hospital, and I had the privilege there at the hospital to give birth to my first kidney stone. And I've given birth to two others since. I'm the happy father of three stones. The oldest name is Rocky, right? Awful pain. Awful. That's going to be nothing compared to this. It's going to be nothing compared to this. Let's look at the appearance of the demonic host. Verse 7. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. So they look like they're warring. They're on their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. And they had hair. This was interesting, like women's hair. 1 Corinthians 11:15 says that when women have long hair, it is the glory of a woman, right? It's the glory of a woman. It brings her dignity and beauty. And so these demonic hosts aren't going to be ugly. Apparently, they're going to be beautiful and therefore more seductive. More seductive. And so the appearance is going to reflect their character. They're going to be attractive and beautiful and therefore perhaps seductive. And their teeth were like lion's teeth. Yikes. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. Iron's a strong element. And so breastplates are to protect. And the idea here is that the demons are going to be invincible. They're going to have like a breastplate of iron upon them. So you're not going to be able to kill them. The sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. There's going to be innumerable of them, as we said earlier. And they had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Scorpions can torment. They can inflict pain, but they generally don't kill, just like these demons. And their power was to hurt men for 5 months, just like locusts. And so that's the appearance of the demonic hosts will reflect who they are, will reflect their character, attractive, beautiful, seductive, and yet invincible. Finally, let's look at the appellation of the demonic host. That is the name of the of their leader. Verse 11. And they had as a king over them the angel of the bottomless pit. And so the bottomless pit, you've got all these demonic hosts who are imprisoned, and they will have a leader who will be an angel. They have a leader. He's over the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. And so we know that his name, whether it's Hebrew or Greek, means the same thing. Destroyer. That's his name. How would you like to name your kid Destroyer? And he is from the abyss. He's from the bottomless pit. And I always thought that he was Satan. But it doesn't make a whole lot of sense that he would be Satan, because he's from the bottomless pit. And we know from the scriptures, Ephesians 6:12, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? But against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darknesses of this age, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Satan's realm is heavenly places. He is the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2. He's in the air. He is the ruler of this world, John 14:30. And so it seems like the ruler, the king of the bottomless pit, the demon, is likely not Satan, but likely some other powerful person, a powerful demon, I should say. And then the text says, one woe is past. What does that mean? Well, earlier, after the four trumpets, there was three more woes. Woe, woe, woe. Fifth trumpet, sixth trumpet, seventh trumpet. One of the woes, fifth trumpet, is past, and two more of the woes are yet to come. And I don't know, after I look at this, I think these last couple trumpet judgments are the worst judgments in the whole book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. It seems to me that we want to be sure that Jesus is our Savior, that Jesus is our Lord. Not that we prayed a prayer that didn't stick, not that we raised our hand years ago, but that we know that we know that we know that we know Jesus, and that he is our Savior. He's our Lord. And we want to pray for people. We want to love people. We want to share Christ with people. Because, beloved, this is awful stuff. Hell on earth. Father, we thank you that you are a loving God and you are a gracious God, but you are also a holy God and you are a just God and you are a patient God. And we are thankful, Lord God, that you are also all powerful and all wise and that you have complete and total authority over Satan. And that, Lord God, when we as your children put on the full armor of God, he can't penetrate that. He can't do anything to us that you don't permit, nothing that you don't allow. 1 Corinthians 10:13 clearly tells us that. But Lord, sometimes you do permit him to have some sway in our lives. And when we do, help us to trust you and to hold on to you and to believe you and to know that you do not permit anything to happen to us that has not first passed through your gracious hands. And help us also, Lord God, to be people who care about people without Christ. Because hell on earth is awful and hell in hell is awful. And so, Lord God, sober us as we think about the spiritual condition of people that we know and love. We ask through Christ our Lord. Amen.